I think of maybe in the middle of a desert without any hope of something. You know, no hope of water, no hope of somebody ever finding you. You're there desolate. Desolate has the idea of being alone. Desolation has the idea of being unprotected. Desolation has the idea of nobody caring. Desolation has the idea of no hope. And I want to tell you, folks, there's a lot of people. Honestly, when I made this, I really didn't know what tonight was going to be like. I really didn't. I didn't anticipate it exactly the way it was going to be. Last Wednesday night, we took our time to look at encouragement from God's Word and how we need to understand that God's leading and ruling in our life is all of Him. Honestly, God puts people in position and God takes people out of position. We need to understand that. God is the one that puts those leaders there, and He's the one that takes them out. And so we cannot, and any human being that has any sort of godliness about him has a tendency humanly to get frustrated with some of the things that go on in our world today. And I even mean explicitly today. There's a lot of frustration that is out there, and I get it from the human standpoint, but honestly, folks, we're humans, and I don't think that we try to get out of that, but we have to have a perspective of godliness. Remember, we are not citizens of this world, we're citizens of heaven. And when we understand that we're citizens of heaven, there is one authority, and that authority always is and always will be. Did you catch that? There's never going to be a change of leadership with our leader. And that's a blessing. Now we're here tonight and we say, what's going on? And honestly, I have different thoughts even through the day. You know, late last night and looking at things and the election, and finally went to bed because, well, nothing's going to be decided tonight. And so you go to bed and you wake up and it's the same thing it was when you went to bed, and you come to church tonight and it's kind of just a mess. You know, and you say, what's going to happen with all this? And to tell you the truth, I was going to go in a little bit of a different direction, but it really doesn't change anything because we're looking at our King, our God, that is always in control. I want you to go to Psalm chapter 34. I want you to see a tremendous passage that God has given today. I'll tell you, I do different things for my devotions, and sometimes I just go to a psalm of the day, and sometimes I mix it up, and you go to the next group of 30, and you do a lot of different things for a Bible reading. And I find myself continually coming back to the Psalms, though, because Psalms are encouraging. David's kind of like me. He's up and down and all around, yet his God is steady, steady, and he always makes his way back to a steady God, and that's wonderful. It's a blessing. So I find myself in David's situation many times, and I always find God in his situation there in the same place all the time. And so it's a blessing to go to the Psalms. And so anyway, this morning I decided to go to Psalm 34 and just look and see what was in the Psalm to encourage me, because I'll tell you what, when I got to the church this morning, I was a little bit discouraged with just things. I'm not preaching Psalm 34 tonight. I just want to share a few things before we go to prayer. I just want to share with you some encouraging things. Psalm 34 and verse 1, I will bless the Lord. By the way, David is writing, and David's always going through difficult times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. All right, now the question is, did you listen to that chapter? Did you pay attention to it? Pastor, read it again. Okay. That's like me sometimes. Sometimes I read my Bible in the morning and I read through a whole thing and I'm like, you know, you do one of those things and you read it again, okay? You know, because you missed it. Well, I'm not going to read it again tonight, but I hope you paid attention to it. I want to tell you something. If you paid attention to it, that is a good psalm there. That's a good psalm there. I like how it ended. Let's go to the end. Notice, you know what? Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. All right? Now, there's a promise of the Lord. You know, there those that, you know, the evil ones in the earth, those people that are just, you know, all this, and we're filled with all kinds of these people today, you know, there's going to be some desolation there one day. Aren't you thankful that you're not going to be desolate in that way? I want to tell you something. We don't have any idea of what desolation is going to be like, but I'll tell you something. One day, and I don't know if it's necessarily referring to the lake of fire forever and ever, but there's going to be some desolation there that is true desolation. We don't have to go through that. We will not have to go through it. You know, say, you know, some of you come tonight, you say, Pastor, this is desolate. You know, I feel desolate. You know, I feel like there's no hope or whatever. I want to tell you something. The Christian doesn't have any need any thoughts of this, because God is going to take care of how many of our problems. Did you catch there was a quantity given in this passage through the whole thing, and what was it? It's a three-letter word, all. Did you catch that? All. God is going to take 100% care of you in all things. Let's look at the, you know, again, I'm not preaching through this passage. I just want you to look at a few things. You know, at all times, he says in verse 1, at all, I will bless the Lord at, how many times do we bless him? All times. Does that even mean, you know, when we find out news that we don't like to hear? Oh, we bless the Lord at all times. Why? Because God is good to us at all times. We go to verse, you know, and many good verses, but look at verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. You know what? The Lord delivers us from our fears. Now, maybe some of you are sitting here tonight and you're fearful of things, of what things could be, you know? I mean, it's the buzz right now in probably a lot of churches. Boy, what could it be? You know, what's going to happen? And boy, things are going to be terrible, Pastor. Boy, things are going to do this. But the Lord can deliver us from all these fears. God does not want us to live in fear. God does not want us to live in worry and desolation. God has come to deliver us. He's a Savior. The Savior is the deliverer. He's come to deliver us from our fears. I think he's come to deliver us from our fears today. He delivers that. Verse 5, they looked unto him and were what? What happens when we look to him? Well, let me ask you, Peter, what happens when you don't look to him? What happens, Peter, when you look away? You start to sink. What happens when you look to the Lord? What does this verse say? You're enlightened. Folks, I want to tell you something. We have every reason to look to the Lord right now. We look at the winds and the waves, and you sink. You look at the Lord and you're enlightened. And I could go through just tons of verses. Look at verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And again, here's the word, delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. God wants us to trust in him. More struggles go through the verses. We get to verse 15. Is God going to take care of us? What do you think? Is God going to take care of us in 2021? Is he going to let us go? Is he going to slide down the trenches of the wicked? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off off the remembrance of them from the earth. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And like verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. I'll tell you all of this. I want to give encouraging news in one way, and then I'm going to give the last little challenge from that last verse. I'll say this. We don't have anything to worry about or anything to fear because God has come to deliver us. And he's already come. He's come to deliver us, and he has delivered us from all these things. All the wickedness, God's going to take care of wicked. He's going to take care of wicked people. God's going to take care of them. They're the ones going to be in desolation. You don't have to be in desolation. God's got everything under control, and his perfect plan is being accomplished every single day of your life, in all of our lives. And we need to trust the Lord and keep our eyes fixed upon him. Okay, so the whole passage talks about that. But notice what he says in verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. I will say this, that the Savior never was any individual that was up for election. Never, ever, ever. God uses people. The answer to our country, the answer to anything else, is when God's people understand that our hearts need to be broken towards the things of the Lord. And I wondered today, in my human nature, what good could come from this? Now, I know the answer because we know what the Bible says. But I'll tell you, that wasn't where I was living in. But you know that sometimes God does things so that his people get serious about things of the Lord. And honestly, when we have everything going our way the way we want them to, sometimes we don't ever get that broken heart or contrite spirit. And I just wonder, and I don't want it. I don't want all the mess that could come. And I'm not saying that we ought to just desire it. Not at all. However, God wants something good to happen here. And he's always got our good in mind and his glory. And maybe what the country needs is a few dark days so that God's people would be brokenhearted and have a contrite spirit. It's time that God's people get serious about the things of the Lord, serious about prayer, serious about bringing these things before the Lord, serious about getting right with sin, serious about getting right with their brothers and sisters, serious about revival, serious about the Word of God and devotions and obeying them, serious about discovering truth and obeying it and sharing it like we're learning in our Discovery Bible studies, serious about winning our neighbors to the things of the Lord, serious about dads raising our children for the things of the Lord, serious about loving our wives and dwelling with them according to knowledge, and wives reverencing their husbands. And maybe God's waiting for people in God's church to get involved and to get active in the things of the Lord and to realize that he made us for service and he made us to love each other. And there's so many things that are there. I wonder if God is saying, listen, you need to wake up. Because what was God's purpose through all those wicked leaders in Judah and Israel? What was he trying to do with Israel? He wanted them to come back to him. And maybe God wants us you know, and he's allowing certain things to happen so that God's people get serious. Because I'll tell you what, it could be that we are forced to get serious here pretty soon. And I just want to encourage you. You know, this chapter has a lot of encouraging things. Again, I told you I'm not really preaching on it at all. It's just an encouraging chapter that I read this morning. The purpose of tonight is to go to prayer. But I read it and I was encouraged because I say, you know what? God has got us in control. He's taking care of us and we just got to trust him. But second of all, I look at this and say, you know, God is close to those people that are broken in their hearts. God is close to people that have a contrite spirit. And we need to be that kind of a people. And so we're going to get together and pray tonight corporately. And men and women, we're going to divide up and pray. And I'll tell you what, we're in a different situation than I thought we'd be. What did I think? I don't know. But it's different than what I thought. And so, but I will say this. And again, the purpose of church is not to get here and talk about a bunch of political things. And really the point is not so much political. The point is the spiritual impact that it's going to make. But I'll tell you what, we need to be serious tonight even about praying. And I'll say this, again, the point is not to make a plea, you know, for any one of the candidates, you know, for the presidency. But I want to tell you something, you know, our country right now is in a little bit of a mess. Things are undecided. Yes, they lean a certain way and whatever. I believe right now, I honestly thought that we were going to come tonight and there was going to be an answer either way. And either way, we were going to thank the Lord, we were going to praise the Lord, and we were going to ask God for help. Now we find ourselves in a little bit different situation. I think that we need to do all those things, but we don't even know. And I say, okay, that it's time. Like my wife responded to me this morning when I was kind of my head hanging a little bit low. She says, wait a second. You know, we need to keep praying. Why would we stop praying? It's almost like just give in. Well, should we give in? I'm not necessarily talking about a certain candidate or anything like that. I'm just saying God's people need to not give in. We need to do what we need to do right now. And one of the first things we can do is pray. And I think that we need to pray that our country gets straightened out with some of this election garbage that is and all this stuff. I cannot tell you the truth about what's going on. I don't know. I have no idea, really. They say this and they say that. A lot of people say a lot of things. I don't know. And I'm not going to pretend to know what's going on. But I know one thing. We need to pray right now for the states that are out there that are still doing their stuff. We need to pray for our current president right now for wisdom to do what's right. We need to pray for wisdom for everything. We need to pray for God's people that we would respond right. It's no different than last week, folks. We need to pray. And I'm urging you tonight. If somebody else is praying, pray also. Pray silently. If nobody's praying, keep praying. If God would prompt you to pray, then you pray. But I believe that we need to go before the Lord and beseech the Lord and say, God, we need you right now. Right now, our country needs you. Would you straighten out this mess? Would you do your will? Would you allow your will to be accomplished even tonight, tomorrow, whatever it is that the outcomes would be revealed, and whatever they are, then we as Christians would move forward and we would get broken over God's things, and that the church of God would be delivered like we read about here. And God's going to deliver us. He came to deliver us. But we need to pray for God's will to be done. And so I'm urging you tonight, let's pray and let's get serious before the Lord and ask God's mercy, his help, his leading, his guiding with what God has for us. David starts off, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We need to make sure as we pray, we're praising the Lord as well. Praising him for his goodness. So we're going to pray. And that's going to be the focus tonight. But before we do that, I do want to take a few moments to look.